Today on Real Radio.
Why should we be a witness? Well, we get to be, because that's what the world is, you know. The world is a witness, and I thank God we're not of it. Very quickly, though, the world is a witness of suffering. You know that? The world is a witness of suffering, pain and suffering. That's what the world knows. That's what the world's trying to do. It's defend itself against all the suffering. They just don't know how to get out of it. We need to be a witness to the world, because the world is suffering. People, the world is full of injustice.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher concludes the final presentation in the Why Should I series. It's called Why Should I Be a Witness? Matthew 28 contains what is often referred to as the Great Commission. And let's face it, we may read a passage like this and feel overwhelmed from what seems like a heavy burden to bear. But before you begin to think that we're all called to be street evangelists, there are many other ways, numerous and diverse ways, of being effective representatives for our Redeemer, as we have been learning in this mini-series. Let's hear the conclusion now of Why Should I Be a Witness? As Pastor Jack Hibbs gives us yet another reason why we are to be ready and available to present the gospel.
People struggle in their head until they're at peace with God through Christ. They struggle in their head with the existence of God because they know until they come to Christ they're under judgment. They know someday the books will be opened. They know it internally. The Holy Spirit says so to them. The Spirit says things like this to them in the consciousness of man. He says things like, what are you thinking about death? He'll shoot a thought into their head. You ever think about life after death? You ever think about the Bible? The Holy Spirit speaks to everybody. The more tense, the more upset they get about God, it's because the Holy Spirit, nicknamed the hound dog of heaven, the old preachers used to call him, the Holy Spirit. Constantly going after them. They can't escape. They can maybe get out of your house. They can move out of your state. They can move out of your country. They can go around the world. The Holy Spirit is still with them, right alongside there. What are you going to do about heaven? What are you going to do about hell? What are you going to do about Jesus? What are you going to do about God? What are you going to do about... That's what he does. He's amazing. Judgment. The Holy Spirit is warning a person over and over again about judgment. And then when you come to know Jesus, what do? You wind up getting that lifted from you. And then he says things like this: you have peace with God now. Would I be out of line to tell you something incredibly private and personal? There's times when God puts the squeeze on me, it's more than if he showed up and hugged me physically. It's something in my head and in my heart where it's like, God, you're so good. He just reveals a snapshot that I have been so accepted before him through Jesus, and because of what Jesus did, I just feel like butter. I mean, it's like you're squeezed with his love, and it's like, Lord, don't give me any more of this. It's too good. You saved me when I was a wretch. When nobody loved me, you did and you do. You've got heaven waiting for me. I deserve hell. You can't keep your eyes off of me. You're so crazy about me. I don't see why, but Lord, thank you. When you see a sunset or a sunrise, or when you see something happen, when it's going on and it's beautiful around you, do you realize he's doing that for you? It's almost as though he can look through your eyes and he's wondering, what do you think, huh? You like that? Do you like that sunset? That's your sunset. Men, when I see a river, or you go to Yosemite or wherever, or you see the waves crashing on the coast, and you know, that's for me. I believe it. Driving up to Santa Barbara, dolphins jumping out of the water. I'm going down the freeway. I'm looking more at the Pacific Ocean than I am looking at the highway. And the sense, that's kind of what I'm talking about right now. I just felt God squeezing me in the car. Nobody else is around. I'm looking at the water, placid. And the dolphins, by I don't know how many, 30, 40 of them jumping out of the water. And I'm looking. There was no grandstands along Highway 101. Nobody. There were no, you know, that was a 10. Oh, that was an 8. Nobody judging it. It was for me. I believe God allowed me to see those dolphins who he created jump out of the water when my head was looking to catch it. Nobody else was around for me. And then I felt his squeeze. I'm doing this for you. And it's like, oh, look. It's awesome. Number 5, why should we be a witness? Well, we get to be, because that's what the world is, you know. The world is a witness, and I thank God we're not of it. Very quickly, though, the world is a witness of suffering. You know that? The world is a witness of suffering, pain and suffering. That's what the world knows. That's what the world's trying to do. It's defend itself against all the suffering. They just don't know how to get out of it. We need to be a witness to the world, because the world is suffering. People, the world is full of injustice. Injustice. And even the world cries out, and the world wants even balances. You'll hear people who are not Christians cry out that things should be fair and just. Where does that come from? But for the righteousness of God and from the existence of the Lord and from the witness that he gives to the world. He's put it in a man's heart. Suffering, injustice, a world is witness to evil. The world knows internally that the evil is wrong in the earth. You know it's true. You hear people say, why would God? They don't even know who God is. You see them on TV. Why would God allow this? Oh, you believer in God? No, I don't believe in God. How come? Because there's evil in the world. I've never understood that. I can't believe in God. There's suffering in the world. I don't get that. Unless really what you're saying is, I want to believe in a God, I don't understand him, so I'm going to be upset with him and deny his existence. I think that's what you're trying to say. Because if you can recognize evil and injustice and suffering, then that makes you somewhat of an expert witness to judge what beauty, righteousness, and comfort must be. If you can say, that's evil, well, on what basis? You must have something to judge that against, right? Where does that come from? Well, I think that's wrong. Based on what? If this is an evolutionary planet, if this is a gathering of accidents, then you can't judge and say, you can't kill people, that's wrong. You can't do that because we're just animals. No one's ever walked up to an alligator and slapped it for eating a gazelle at the watering hole. What are you doing? Well, alligators eat gazelles. There's evil in the world. The very presence of evil proves the biblical story that God created perfection, but sin made it all go wrong. And if you can sit in judgment and say, that's wrong, there's injustice in the world, I can't believe in God. There's evil in the world, I will not believe in God. Are you crazy? The very fact that you can point out evil speaks that there must be something good. And I encourage you, get your eyes off the evil and find out what is good. And there's only one good, and that's God. Think about it for a while. I think the light will come on. 6th and final point, and we'll be done with our series. Why should I be a witness? Because that's what we must be. That's what we must be. Because remember, this whole series started with a grand assumption that we're all Christians. And if we're all Christians, then we have to be witnesses. That's what we have to do. As a Christian, my life is now bigger than I've ever imagined. My life's bigger. I don't care how young you are, how middle-aged you are, how old you are. In life, you will go through your place. You may be a kid struggling with your grades, graduate, get a break, go to college, get that degree, form a company, have employees, make money, have everything you want, hand it over to another, to your children or whoever, live the golden years, live in ease. Things change. You may start out in life and never make ends meet. Things change. It doesn't matter what your status or position in life is. Things change. The great thing is being a Christian. The Bible says we move on from glory to glory. And though my status in life may change, and someday if the Lord doesn't come back, I will not be pastoring this church. I'll be an old man. And things change. But you know what? I'll be near to the kingdom of heaven. And some of the things I did in my life mattered, and most probably did not matter. But Jesus has been with me all the way. And things change. But my life with him grows in glory to glory. And the sweet thing about all that is that my life, every year with yours, gets bigger and bigger and bigger, no matter what changes. Maybe you're on the brink of retirement and you're wondering, what am I going to do with my life? Your life's going to get bigger, Christian. Al and Cecil, remember them? They haven't seen them in a while. They ministered in China for years. Missionaries of ours that we've supported for years. I worked with Al Nudick at Baxter Healthcare for many years, and it came time for him to retire from Baxter. Well, what do Christians do when they retire? Well, he sold his home in Lake Forest, put the money in the bank, used it to fund him and Cecil's missionary life. When you retire at the age of 65, you become missionaries. That's what you do. And they moved to China. They smuggled Bibles into communist China. Oh, yeah, they got caught a few times. They got beat up a few times by the Chinese police. Got right back up, rejoiced to be associated with Jesus, kept smuggling Bibles into China. And I'm not going to tell you where that old man is right now, but he's not in the United States, I'll tell you that. Working for God right now. Our life gets bigger. Is your life, Christian, is your life bigger today than it was 5 years ago? Is your life bigger today than it was 10 years ago? Does God have a bigger grip on who and what we are? Three things were done very quickly. It's this. How's my life bigger? This new life controls me. This new life controls you. Number two, this new life possesses us, just like it did the prophets of old. It possesses us. Controls me, possesses me. The Holy Spirit does, God does, the Bible does. And this new life, it owns us. People, we have to be witnesses because God owns us. Now, the Bible says that we've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your mind. So I leave you with this verse, and we're done. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. And before Jesus uttered the verses of 8 and 9, the disciples, they were so excited that they had him back from the dead, that they wanted him to just stay there. And they said to him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, now that you're back from the dead, can we get on with the program? Will you kick Rome off of our heels and give us freedom and prosperity? We want to get this thing going. We're very excited about you being king, and we'll be your ushers or whatever it takes. We'll be right alongside you. Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. You get to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Anybody know? It's where they were standing. That's the answer. When you go to Bible college and they ask you, why Jerusalem? Tell them, It was where they were standing. That's the answer. Number two, in all Judea. What's it? Why Judea? Because when you leave Jerusalem, you go into Judea. And Samaria. Once you leave Judea, you got to go through Samaria. And we're going to stand there pretty soon, people. We're going to stand there on the coast of Caesarea, on the Mediterranean. And we're going to sit in that amphitheater that Paul sat in, same one. And as the waves of the Mediterranean are crashing behind me, you'll be looking at it. I'll be giving you a teaching about how from that place, the gospel left. Because why? It went through Jerusalem, Samaria, or Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then it got right to the coast of, right off near Tel Aviv, Caesarea, and it jumped into the water. The gospel did. And you shall be witnesses of mine, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and what does it say? To the ends of the earth, Chino Hills. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up from them into a cloud which received him out of their sight. And what did they do? They went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth, Chino Hills. That's our marching orders. That's it. That's what we're to do. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your word. Lord, this whole series has been designed by you. We believe and trust that you might cause us to be your witness. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray now that you would baptize us in the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would send us from this Jerusalem right here. As we go home, we would begin to see home like never before. Like it would be the center on a wheel. And from our doorsteps, be it our house or the place where we worship, there would be lines like an azimuth or like a compass emitting outward, encompassing the globe. Starting in our home, starting in our town, starting in our city, our county, our state, the world. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I beg of you, Lord, that you would baptize all of us, this church, into your perfect will. And Lord, whatever excuses we would offer up, that you would pay no attention to them whatsoever. That you would not listen to us, but Lord, you would drive us. Lord, that you would provoke us. God, just like a parent who knows that ice cream tastes good and is trying to get that brand new little baby to take a little lick of it, knowing that once they taste it of it, they'll be hooked. And if that little kid just whips his head back and forth and tightens up his mouth, Lord, we just want to grab him by the little bald head and put that cone down their mouth because we know it's so good, and if they would only calm down and taste, they would know. And I wonder if that's how we feel with our kids, trying to expose them to something great. How you must feel when you say, go, yes, get up and go into all the world. And we close our mouths, we sit on our hands, we stomp our feet and say, no, no, no. And we try to protect our lives from that which tastes the very best. Pay no attention to us, Lord. Possess us with your will. And may this church bring you all the glory, all the praise. And at the end of our lives, may we have been good and faithful servants. In Jesus' name, and all God's people agreed by saying, amen.
Amen. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, concluding a mini-series called Why Should I Be a Witness? And in fact, this marks the end of this series called Why Should I? On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we resume our regular journey through the book of Acts, beginning with chapter 3. It has been our prayer that you have benefited greatly from this collection of studies, so much, in fact, that we're making the entire series available all on one MP3 CD. Our offer? For your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send it to you. Again, this series called Why Should I? Is yours for a tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount. In a moment, we'll give you our mailing address and telephone number. Meanwhile, to find out more, visit www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Now, while you're there and reading about the Why Should I series, you'll notice the button right next to it that'll take you to the Southern California Prophecy Conference website. Now, this event doesn't take place until the middle of January, but Pastor Jack, we're announcing it this early because our last one pretty well filled up the place.
You know, last year we had an audience that was not only from the local area. When I say local area, the Los Angeles, San Diego, Orange County area, but Mike, we had people as far away as Canada, Australia.
Wow.
We had people come from England, and there was a couple that came from Germany. And so, again, all the more reason why our listeners need to be thinking about, you know, this is in January. It's a great time of the year to come and visit here in Southern California. You got Disneyland is close by and all of these theme parks that are within minutes from us. But, you know, you may be thinking about vacation time and working this conference in. And so, again, go to our website, find out more about it, and sign up. And I think it'd be a very, very informative, excellent conference. And look, I got to tell you, Mike, it's Southern California. We're very blessed here. And that time of the year, somebody could think about maybe even bringing their bathing suit.
Oh, yeah. It's no exaggeration. We have what's known as a Mediterranean climate here in this part of the country. Why is Calvary Chapel Chino Hills hosting this conference? What is the benefit to the individual who attends?
I think someone who attends this is going to go away equipped, because it is our desire here in this conference to not only expose the true history and the intent and the doctrine of Islam, but our most important thing, Mike, in this conference is to get people to have a burden in their heart for the Muslim who has no assurance of salvation, who has no guarantee of eternal life. I think of our speaker, Jay Smith, coming from London. He's an expert. In fact, I first met Jay years ago at Speaker's Corner in London, England. And Jay was standing atop a 12-foot aluminum ladder proclaiming the gospel from the Bible in front of over 1,000 Muslims.
Wow.
They're at the park. They were shaking their fists and trying to shout him down. And this is, Jay lives to bring Muslims to know the love of God. And Jay is going to be with us. I'm telling you, people, don't miss this. You are going to go away wanting to find a Muslim friend, a Muslim neighbor, and giving them the good news of Jesus Christ. They don't know it, and they don't have it, and they need it just like you and I do.
Okay, so if I want to attend, what do I do?
Listen, I want to encourage you to log on now and get your ticket, because there are some seats still available. This is going to be a sold-out event. Very excited about it. So go to the website and get your ticket for this event.
And what's the website?
The website is SoCalProphecyConference.com. I know that's really long. You can Google it and get close. But exactly, it's SoCalProphecyConference.com.
All right, so that's SoCalProphecyConference.com, www.SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.